out. And I don't know about you, but Peter doesn't want to rock her out of his place. Hey, man, hallelujah. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. You all, I'm just so grateful to be in this space today. This is my happy space. You know, some people say they got a happy space. This is my happy space to be with the people of God, being able to talk to the people of God, being able to, you know, partake in God's word. Because every time I read the word of God, I get happy. Why? Because I'm inspired, because I get hope. And hope is the substance. It's part of hope is part of that thing that our faith is made out of. Amen. That, you know, the Bible says what? Our faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, yet the evidence of things unseen. So I got to have hope as that key element as I go forward to know that what? That even though I don't see it right now, even though it doesn't look good right now, even though it ain't maybe going the way that I desired to go or the way I want it to go, or it didn't fall in place the way I want it to fall in place, but God is still got it. And he's still God, and he's God all along by himself. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters of the Safe House Church. I'm so glad to address you this morning. And for those who are on for the first time, or maybe you're returning, my name is Dr. Peter Ely. I'm the pastor of the Safe House Church, a.k.a. Greensboro's favorite pastor. Amen. And I'm just so grateful to be in this space with you here on today. For God is good, and he's so worthy to be praised. And I ask that you all just don't sit here and just watch, but get partake in what God is doing here on this morning. You know, we just a group of people who just trust and believe God. You know, despite everything that's going on, he told us that what? That we would just hold our peace and let the Lord fight our battles, that what? Victory shall be ours. And I'm just grateful to each and every one of you this morning for tuning in. If you would be so kind, if you would hit the share button, just hit the share button. If you're on social media, we have different platforms. We have YouTube, and we on Periscope, and we on Facebook, and then we have the podcast going on live. Amen. We just all over the place and just sending the tentacles all out to put out the word of God everywhere we can, because there's somebody who needs a good word. There's somebody who needs to hear from God on today. And sometimes I'm understanding, and I even learned on yesterday as I was talking to an individual, and I won't put that individual on the spot, but God, even in his messages, sometimes speaks to people. Amen. You know, there was a young lady that I was talking with on yesterday, and I was just calling in because God put it on my spirit. You know, that's the kind of pastor I am. I'm one of the ones. I'm old school. I pick up the phone. I call somebody. I'm just not going to text you. Amen. So you get a call from me, please answer the phone, because your pastor want to see about you. You know, I know we get into this technological thing and everybody want to do it, but sometimes people just need to hear a voice. They need to hear a voice of assurance. They need to hear a voice to say, you know what, God, even despite everything, you know, that I love you and that God loves you. You know, I know one thing, we all know that God loves us, but it's, how many of you know it's just a little different when your brother or your sister come and just put their hand on your back and say, you know, I love you. You know, I know we in this thing, you know, we've been social distancing and all this stuff, but what I see coming and what I see going forward is that we're dividing a social gap between people, amen? And it's going to get to the point that people are not going to care for people no more. Why? Because they just see them as a almost like a digital avatar. They just see them as just a number on YouTube. They see them just as a number on the Facebook category. They don't see them that's a real human being on the other side of that. They don't see that's a live person. They don't see that's a beating heart. They don't see that's a person who has aspirations to do things, that has life, that bodies get sick sometimes, they go through things in this life. So I ask you on today, I know we all are social distance and all that, but if God has laid somebody on your heart, that you pick up the phone and reach out. That you pick up the phone and say, hey, brother, I'm just thinking about you. Hey, sister, I'm just thinking about you. You know, it means more than you realize. Amen. And as I, like I said, I was talking with this young lady. I call her young lady. You know, man, she's a young lady to me. And as I was talking with her on yesterday, and she was telling me some of the things that she was going through, and we were just encouraging her in the Lord. Amen. And she was telling me that, you know, a sermon that I preached a couple of weeks ago, that God had used me to say something. And, you know, and sometimes even I, as the pastor, sometimes I get discouraged. And, you know, you sit there and you look and it's like, well, Lord, we on Facebook and we doing this and we doing that. Lord, we're not in our building. Lord, it seems like the church ain't trying to grow. But you know what? God has a way of doing things. And sometimes I know people get tired to this point that, you know, they play a numbers game. It's about the numbers. If you ain't got this many people, you ain't doing this. If you ain't got that, you ain't doing that. And what I find out, and I'm constantly reminded of, and I saw this even in work this week, that God didn't look at the number. He looked at the quantity. God can do much with little. Hey, man, come on. The Bible said he took two fish and 5 loaves of bread, and he fed 5,000. Amen. There's some people who have way more than that and can't feed 5,000. So it's not about how much you got, but it's about what you do with what you got. Come on, somebody. It ain't about how much you got, but it's about what do you do with what you have. Because when you with God, little is much in his hand. Because what? He'll strategically tell you how to spend it. He'll open up doors of what we call favor. And what is favor? I tell you all the time, favor is nothing but access. He opened up access to people who can do things for you that you'll never be able to do for yourself, that you won't be able to pay back. That's how you know when God's done something. And this is one way for people, you know, I know people always asking questions and stuff. How do I know God did this? One way you know if God did something for you in your life, if that person or somebody or that organization did something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. Come on, somebody. So they do something for you that you know you can't pay them back. I have people speak into my life and do things that I couldn't pay them back. It was no way I could pay them back. And that's how you know that God is working on your behalf. You want to indicate? That's indicate. You don't have to go out there and say, Lord, if I walk outside and the leaf blows over to this side, then that means you're speaking to me. No, I'm telling you real practical stuff. Because God is a real God. So how do you know? I know, for instance, like I said, because what? It's something I can do. Because I'm one of those people, and most people are, we don't want to feel like we owe anybody. We don't want to feel like, you know, we need help sometimes. We can get caught up in our pride sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the Bible said what? That pride is before the fall. So God can be trying to do things for us sometimes. And we just stuck in this thing because we don't want help in this area because we want to do it ourselves. And sometimes God just puts us in a position that we can't do it, and we just got to rely on him. And then when he do it, I just look back and say, Lord, you did that because I couldn't do it. Nor could I repay the person who did it for me. So that's how good God is. And then with this particular person, she was saying how through the sermon that I was preaching, that God gave her a confirmation and answer to something in her life. And you know, when I hear those kind of stories, they don't have to be many, but when I hear those kind of stories, y'all know, I'm going to tell y'all right now, it makes me pray a little harder. It makes me study a little bit harder. It pushes me a little bit harder. It helps me go to the next level a little bit more. Why? Because those things let me know, say, God, you're doing something here. God, I'm walking on the right path here. God, you're pushing me in this area here, Lord. It's something right about this. Amen, amen. And I'm just grateful to all of you all. Safe House Church, we work off three pillars. We work off three pillars in our faith that we believe God is leading us to. And it's called, we call it DEA here. That's discipleship, we're going to teach you. Empowerment, that what we're going to put you in place to be able to do God's work. And then lastly, what do? DEA, accountability. We have to be accountable. When God gives you great power, there's great accountability. When God puts you in place, you can't just do anything and everything you want to do. Why? Because it's not yours. I'm just a manager of his anointing. I'm just a manager of his resources. They don't belong to me. I don't even belong to myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm just a manager of all the things that he's given me, and you are too. I ask that you all keep families in prayer that are connected to this ministry. We have, you know, a number of deaths. I know my wife's good friend, Sister Caroline, he lost her husband yesterday in a freak accident. Amen. And we ask that you all pray for Caroline. And just keep Caroline in your prayers. And I know Caroline, if she's watching, Caroline, we love you. And we're praying for you. And, you know, and I tell people all the time, I know people just think, well, this is not just a black ministry. No, this is whosoever will. Caroline's white. We love Caroline. Caroline's a good woman. And I believe God still, even in what seems like to be tragedy, that God has a plan for Caroline and her family and all of this. And we don't know what it is, but we trust him that he's going to do it. Amen. And we pray for Sister Caroline. You know, she has some things going on. Y'all continue to pray for her and God continue to heal her body, that God is what? He's the restorer. I ask that you all pray for my dear cousins, the Evans family and the Henderson family. They lost a brother, you know, to COVID. Amen. You know, the devil's raging. Yes. And we ask you pray for Sister Williams family because they lost her dear sister, Tina. And Tina, if you're watching, baby, we with you and we love you and we praying with you and we're going to help you out. We're not going to leave you hanging. Safe House Church, we don't do that with our food. You know, I believe in outreach, but we do inreach before we do outreach. We take care of our own. So we're gonna help y'all, sister. You know, I know what you're going through is already hard enough, but you know, God is able, and we're gonna take care of you. Amen. That's just what's that positive. Accountability. It's important. And so y'all pray for her. She lost her husband to lung cancer, and he died this weekend. She's going through much, you know. And these people, I'm telling you all about most people standing, young folk. These are not folk, old folk. So the atmosphere is changing. We got wildfires out in California. I saw a video of a wildfire that had a tornado in it. A tornado amber wildfire. I've never heard of such. I ain't never even existed. You know, wildfire, tornado, but together? Come on. You know, I saw this morning news. There's calamity all over the land. And I'm sitting there like, Lord, what else can happen? Then I get a call this morning that I lost another cousin. But even through all this, and I was searching yesterday, and as I was praying, y'all know one of my earthly happy places is on the water. And I went and I was fishing in this tournament yesterday, which I did terrible. Y'all pray y'all pastors can find the fish. We find the fish ministries, and I can't find the fish. But nonetheless, amen, this is comical relief. Because it's good to laugh, even in all we go through. But even in that, you know, I was like, God, what would you have me to say to your people? Or what can one say in a time like this when so much is going on and so many things and people find themselves being pulled to the left and to the right and it seems like no hope, despair, and it seems like little jobs are going away and this is going this and this is taking and all of this is happening. But he reminded me of what we talked about this year. Safe House Church, if you remember, we have a theme every single year. And I know this year everybody was 2020, perfect vision in 2020 and all that stuff, but that's not what God took us. And y'all know that. You know, our theme for this year is what? The gap. This is the gap year. And the gap stands for what? Gifts, anointing, and today's going to be perseverance. Gifts, anointing, perseverance. So we're standing still. What are we doing? We're standing in the gap. Now, if you think about it, for everything that's happened this year right now, you'll find that theme to be actually quite prophetic. What do you mean by that? In that, what's happening? Most people's account, and I mean most people, just the world in general, they throwing 2020 away already. They can't wait for it to leave. And you and I know just by the changing of the calendar, the changing of the time of the clock, it's not just going to change what's going to happen. It's just that people are going to feel a little bit better about it because they think something else has happened. Mm-hmm. So when God dropped that on us this year, I didn't know what gap was going to mean. But what gap actually means is that we're standing in the gap right now. People are hurting right now. People don't know what to do right now. Some of our own members are hurting right now. But what do? We have to stand in the gap. We have to stand on our gifts. Oh, come on, somebody. We have to stand on that anointing, and we have to persevere through this. Tough times happen, but tough times don't last. But tough people do. And you're one of them. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. And I'm here to tell you today, congratulations, you are one of them. So let's go into the word of God on today. Giving honor to First Lady Felicia Ely. Love her so much. Thank you, babe. Love her to pieces. Amen. We're about to celebrate 18 years next year. Next month. So just great for her and my children and my family who I ain't gonna say they put up with me, they love me. I know I'm a unique character. I'm an acquired taste, and everybody can't handle this ministry because I just believe in telling the truth. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I'm not gonna PC it. It's, you know, I just believe in telling the truth. And you know, and I was just reminded as I was in a retreat this weekend, and I mean this past weekend, and we're talking about one of the ladies were talking about people giving and doing things, and she made the comment and said that, you know what, it's about that consistency. And you know what God is looking for? Faithfulness. And then consistency in the Christian world just means faithfulness. Persistence in the Christian world just means faithfulness. And I'm asking you today, how many of you are faithful? Not just in giving, but your time with God, your time in your word, it makes a difference. Be faithful. He says like this, if you'll be faithful, if you suffer with me for a little while and be faithful over these few things, he didn't say a whole bunch, a few things. If you'll be in one or two, then what? I shall make you ruler and you shall reign with me. over many. Amen. Amen. So, all right. So, if you would with me, would you hang out with me for a couple of moments as I go into teaching, preaching, I call myself a preacher. That means I teach a little bit and I might preach a little bit. And I'm not quite sure which one you're going to get. Amen. It just depends on how the anointing flows on us. Amen. But if you would turn with me to the book of Genesis, for those who don't know, the first book in the book. So you just open a couple of pages. You should be there. And I want you to go to verse 37. I would encourage each and every person under the sound of my voice, if you've never read the book of Genesis from cover to cover, I'm telling you, pick it up and read it. It is an awesome book. Most of the stuff you want to know about the Bible, you can almost find in Genesis. Genesis what? The beginning. So it makes sense that it would probably be there because it is the beginning. Genesis, had creation. You find the first family. You find, you find Joseph. You find Jacob. You find Israel. I mean, you find a whole lot of stuff just there. So 37th chapter, and we want to go to verse 5. 37 verse 5. Let me get rid of my name there. How many of you feeling good this morning? Hallelujah. Let's just take a minute and say hallelujah. I am grateful. I am grateful, y'all. Despite all that's going on, I know that he's still able, and my faith is not shaken. And on this morning, I want to show you why yours shouldn't be shaken on this day, that if anything, strengthen, because it's coming. It is coming. All right, so let's read verse 37 and 5, and it says this. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. So here he is, Joseph is going to tell him his dream, and he says this. He said, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheep arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheep stood around about, and made assonance to my sheep. And his brethren said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Then in verse 37, verse 9, he says, and he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to his brother. You see a pattern here. He dreams a dream, and he goes and gives it to the brother. And he said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made precedence to me. And he told his father, and he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him. Boy, what you talking about? Get out of here. And he said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow ourselves to thee to the earth? And in verse 11, and he says, and his brother envied him, but his father observed the saying. His brothers envied him, yet his father observed the same. If I could talk with you this brief moment, if I can use for a subject with you all on today, I just simply want to say this. The dreams fill the gaps. The dream fills the gaps. So as I started with you on this morning, I was telling you that GAP actually at our church stands for gifts, anointing, and power, gifts, anointing, and persistence. You know, we use that P interchangeably, but gifts in particular stands for, like I said, for us, for gifts. All of us have gifts. All of us have gifts. We have things that God has given us the ability to do without much effort. You know, for me, I know one of my gifts is my ability to teach. You know, God, I just read things and I can digest them, and I see them in different ways, and I see them how to be able to break them apart and be able to talk about them in such a way that other individuals are able to understand. And to be honest, I don't have to work really hard at it. But when I work really hard at it, y'all really, really in trouble. Amen. Oh, my God. But, you know, and I'm working. I need to work hard. But it's a gift. It doesn't take much effort for me. Mm-hmm. Now, that's gifts from some of the other, some of you all have some things that you can do that doesn't take much effort for you. My wife has an extraordinary gift to be able to have an eye for decoration. My wife can go in stores. She can go in thrift stores. We can go in the Dollar Tree. We can go in the Goodwill. My wife can go to Walmart, and she can come out and have your house looking like $1 million on a Goodwill budget. That's part of her gifting, you know, so much so that people now gotten to the point that they pay her and solicit her and ask for her eye. And she didn't go into any form of training for that. She didn't do any other stuff for that. It's just a gift for her. And many of you have gifts. You know, some of you all have a gift for business. Some of you have a knack for being able to find deals. And some of you have a gift for being able to talk to people and be able to talk them down off ledges and all kinds of things. All of us have gifts, and we all need to explore. And definitely by the time you're at our ages, in our 40s and our 30s and our 50s, you should already know what your gifting is. If you don't know what your gifting is, I encourage you, brothers and sisters, what is it that you do so well and you don't even have to work at it? For some of you, you know, it may be things that you can do physically. You can do, you know, yard, and you can do hair, and you can do, everybody has a gift. Everybody has probably more than one of them. You know, I'm gifted to work with my hands. I work my mouth, but my hands are very good. I can build things. I can fix things. I can look at most things and take them apart. And that goes back to that teaching part. I can take them apart and put them back together and build them back together and never even look at the directions or none of this kind of stuff, because I can just kind of see how things probably should work based on the way it looks. That's my gift. They tell me, you know, that LeBron James has a photographic memory. That's why he can remember all the information. They say he can recall almost every single play in the NBA that he's ever played. I think that's ridiculous. I can't remember what I did yesterday sometimes, and he can recall every single basketball play. Part of his gift. Now what we find here, we find our brother Joseph here. Joseph has an extraordinary gift. God had given Joseph the gift of being able to interpret dreams. And with Joseph's gift of interpreting dreams, when Joseph was young and he was trying to understand his gift and he was trying to understand how it works, Joseph lacked a lot of wisdom in the sense that, you know, he was zealous. How many of you know when you have a gift and you just want everybody else to know about it? You just, not because you want them to know because you want them to be envious of you, but you want them to know because you want to be able to help somebody else. How many of you ever been in the place where you just wanted to help somebody else and you were chastised and you were rebuked and you were called everything but a child of God, and all you wanted to do was sincerely offer your services? All you want to do is sincerely be a help. You know, I had to get to the point in my life that I had to learn that everybody don't want my help. No matter how good I feel about it, no matter how I decided, you know, that I wanted to be able to offer this service and what my heart was in, that getting a gift has to have a two-way part. When I think about giving a gift to somebody, I, as the gift giver, have to make a decision that I'm going to give a gift. Okay? Now, that person, as the gift receiver, has to make a decision that they want to receive a gift. A gift is not a gift until it's actually received. Come on, somebody, write that down. A gift is not a gift until it's received. So maybe some of you have not found your giftings because you've not spent time with God so that God can give you the gift that he wants you to have. Because when you're in relationship with him, then he talks to you and he tells you things about yourself. He tells you things about your situation. And now you're in a place where if you listen, when you're listening, what are you doing? You are receiving the gift that he's giving you. Are y'all tracking with me? So gifting is important. Gifting is how many of us pay our bills. Gifting is how many of us carry our careers. Gifting is how many of us walk our walk. It's what we do to keep ourselves happy in this world, in this part. Mm-hmm. Then we move forward to an anointing. Well, anointing, you know, we talk about in the Bible. The Bible said that they would anoint their heads with oil, and then you know, the anointing oil would flow down from the head. I mean, from the head down to the feet, and it wasn't so much that it was the oil that was that was anointed, because the oil was really what a representation of the Spirit of God being upon that person, and how that Spirit of God would flow from their head down to their feet. And the reason they chose the oil, because usually the way the oil was made, the oil came in sacrifice. Watch that. Oil comes in sacrifice. If you see any kind of oil, most oils are what? They are done through a process. Most oils are what we call refined. You think about your cooking oils. You don't go get corn oil. Just go get your ear of corn and you got corn oil. No, there's some work you have to do to the oil. In particular, what do? They process it. The oil goes through a process. They cook it. They mash it. They do all kinds of stuff. It's a process. So I'm here to remind you today, brothers and sisters, the anointing that's on your life comes through process. Some of you are in the middle of that process right now. You don't understand why you're going through what you're going through, why it seems like you're being passed around, why you're being looked over. I'm here to tell you today that God has you in the process of changing your anointing. And the longer you're in the process, the more refined your oil will be. The more powerful your oil will be. Do you not know some of the more expensive oils? They are expensive because of the amount of process they have to go through to get to market. I'm here to tell you today, when it seems like people are passing you by, when it seems like you just stuck and it seems like everybody else is getting their win, they don't seem like you're getting yours, I'm telling you to hang on today that God has you in a place where he's just refining your oil a little bit more. I'm telling you, don't abandon the process. Don't give up. Don't cry. Don't fall all out. You know, because what? God is just using everything that's happening to you. Because when this happens to you, when this one's died, and when this one's gone on, when this one said this, when this one left you, and that all these are things of what? Of impurities in your oil that he's removing so he can put you where he desired you to be, that he can use you the way that he desired to use you. And we find our brother here, Joseph, that Joseph here now, even when his own family is to a point of rebuke, even to the point that his dad rebukes him, the one that loves him. So if you know anything about the story of Joseph, if we go to the first chapter, I often tell you all, if you want to know something, we want to do what? Content, context, and ask God for the revelation. So to be in content here is our Bible, this story of Joseph. And if we read the story of Joseph, we find in context that Joseph was his child of his father's old age. And his father loved him. His father favored him. His father gave him access more than he did his other 11 brothers. Oh, come on, somebody. That he gave him more access. And because he favored him, the Bible tells us that he gave him a coat of many colors. And I like to think, and I often tell people, I believe that coat of many colors was representative of many nations or different peoples of many different colors. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, I feel my anointing coming on right now. See, and then, so now Joseph finds himself in a place that his brothers, that he just wanted to help and he wanted to use his gifting to kind of tell them that what he saw going on, what he saw future-wise for them as a family, and they rejected it because they did not see themselves in it. I'm here to tell you today that some people will reject your dream. Some people are going to reject you. Some people are going to say they don't need you or they don't want you. Not because you're not desirable, so get that out of your head. Not because you're not valuable, so get that out of your head. But because they don't see how you are going to fit into their puzzle. Oh, come on, somebody. They don't see how you are going to be a benefit to them. Why? Because they're self-serving. If it's not going to help me, why in the H-E double hockey stick, I need you. So I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, don't be discouraged when it seems like things are passing you by. Woo, preach it to myself. Because God has a plan. And in his plan, if we'll trust his plan, if we'll let our dream fill in the gaps. Woo, woo, woo. Oh, my God. You'll let the dream fill in the gaps. See, Joseph was told a dream, and Joseph saw himself raising up the power. Joseph saw himself not because he was selfish and he wanted it, but for some reason that God wanted to use him to put him in that place that's going to be there to help him. So Joseph allowed his dream to fill in his gaps. Because see, oftentimes when God shows us things, all we see is where we are and where we're going to end, but we don't know the in-between part. And I'm here to remind you today that it's your dream that's going to fill in the gaps. It's going to be what he told you in the midnight hour. It's going to be what he told you alone that everybody don't understand. It's going to be what he told you when nobody else was around. It's going to be what he told you about yourself. And it's about what he told you that he was going to do for you. And then when you tell it to somebody else, then you find them jealous and you find them not understanding. And you find yourself, Lord, did I miss your call, Lord? Did I miss what you were saying, oh God? Did I miss how you was interpreting that to me? But Lord, I am reminded today that, Lord, your dream, my dream fills in my gaps because I don't see it coming. They don't see it coming, but it's the dream that fills in the gaps. This is why it's important that God tells us not only the beginning part, but he also tells us the end part. But you notice God never tells us what happens in between. And if any of you all know the story of Joseph, a lot of things happened in between. And for a long time, it didn't look like what Joseph was going through was going to end. For a long time, it didn't look like that Joseph was going to see that perfect and that successful end. But I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, I don't care what we're going through. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what's happening around you, that you let your dream fill in the gaps, that you be reminded what God showed you. And if he ain't telling nobody else, if he showed you, and you know he showed you, I tell you, brothers and sisters, that you hold on to the dream and let the dream fill in the gaps. So we're talking about how the anointing comes, and the anointing has come through the pressing of the oil comes through the pressing, and I believe God allows it, uses the oil as representative of that, because what the anointing in your life that you have comes through sacrifice. The anointing that you have in your life comes through sacrifice, just like the anointing of olives, just like the oil of olives come what? The olive has to be sacrificed. There's no other way to get the oil than what? Crush the olive. We talked about that before. The oil is no other way to get the oil but to crush the olive. So some of you right now, you're going through a crushing period in your life. Some of you seem like nothing is working. You're just so crushed. You're so distraught. You're so like, Lord, I just sold over 2020. I hear it. But I'm telling you, don't let that stop you. Because even out of that, he's taking that and he's making what? An anointing out of it. Because now you're going to be able to know that what? I've been through this. I've been through that. And even through all that I've been through, that I am still able to stand here today and say, Lord, for God I live and God I die. So the anointing. Then we find P. P is what? Persistence. If you notice here, Joseph never, ever gives up. You can tell he's not giving up because Joseph, every time he encounters one of his situations, Joseph was sold into slavery and his brothers wanted to throw him in the pit. Brother, then they changed their mind. They don't throw him in the pit. Then they sell him to slavery. Then he's sold to Potiphar's house. And all that Joseph is doing, that he keeps his integrity. He keeps his integrity. Don't do nothing stupid. Don't allow this to be blown up. And all that God's been preparing for you, you give away. Keep your integrity about you. Mm-hmm. He loves you. He ain't forgot you. Keep that integrity. Mm-hmm. And so Joseph keeps his integrity. He goes through all these things and he's put in prison. And even in prison, he's telling them, hey, bro, remember me? He's not giving up. Hey, when you get an opportunity, can you shoot my resume over here? When you get an opportunity, I helped you. If you notice here throughout Joseph's whole life, what does Joseph do? He's a giver. You know, and I was reminded even on yesterday as I was looking and I was reading and I was listening to Brother Jackson, he reminded me of the spirit of generosity. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, I was thinking about, you know, how generous some of us have been in the past and we allow things to come to shake us and to change how we actually deal with things. And God is calling us back to that, y'all. Be kind to people. Be kind, even if they're not kind to you. Because some of them may not even have the capacity to be kind to you. They don't understand what kindness is. Because they never, anybody's ever been kind to them. So the behavior that you want to see somebody else exhibit, you model it first. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I'm not going to do. You model that first. So we see Joseph's whole life is a life of what? Persistence. He keeps going. He keeps going. He doesn't know where it's going to end. I like to think at some point, maybe Joseph even forgot the dream that God had given him. Sometimes we get such in a place and so many different things happening, and we just here and we there. We forget sometimes what God has already said. Why? Because we're focusing on our right now and not what he told us he was going to do. We're focusing on where we are right now and the situation we're in right now, not where he said we were going to be. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't say you was going to get there in a year. He didn't say it was going to be happening overnight. Joseph had this dream when he was probably about a 12-year-old man, or a 12-year-old boy, and they considered man by 12. But this dream didn't even come true until he's like 38, almost 40 years old. So I'm here to tell you all today, if you're going through it, don't give up. Let the dream fill in the gaps. It's your dream that's going to fill in the gaps. That thing that God has told you, it's going to fill in the gaps. And he's going to use what? Your gifting. Mm-hmm. Keep using your gift. Use your gift. Because your gift is going to keep you supplied. Your anointing is going to do those things that you didn't think you could do. Because see, the anointing, that's a supernatural power. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, well, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke and set the captive free. I don't have the power to destroy yokes, but his anointing do. I don't have the power to set the captive free, but his anointing do. Mm-hmm. It's that anointing. So when you find yourself in a place and you start to do things that are supernatural, things that you know are well beyond you, you know it, God. It's just that anointing of God that's working in your life. Are y'all with me? So it's that anointing that's working. And even in all of that, it seems like you just, you know, sometimes you get to the place that you feel like you're just spinning your wheels. It seems like you're just on the treadmill and you're just going around and around in a circle and you're not going any further. And it seems like you're not going. I'm here to remind you today that you're actually making progress. You're making a lot more progress than you really realize. You're making more progress than what you see. And what you find is that persistence in God is about an attitude. It's an attitude to say that what, despite my circumstances, despite what I'm going through, despite what's happened to me, despite what they said, despite where I find myself, despite the poor decisions sometimes I've made, because sometimes it's things that we've done, that Lord, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I'm going to get there. You're going to get there. You got to hang in there. I got to hang in there. So all I wanted to do today, you know, God, in my heart, I just want to encourage you all to say, you know what? Let your dream fill in the gaps. When you find those places, let your giftings go forward. Working that anointing that he's giving you. If he's giving you the ability or he's giving you an anointing to be able to pray over people and they become healed. He's giving you an anointing that you be able to talk to people and they change their minds and they don't do crazy things and all this stuff. If he's giving you an anointing to be able to go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come, use that. Because your gifting, along with your anointing and your ability to say, you know what, I'm in this until breath leaves my lungs, is what's going to open the door for the rest of your dream to be fulfilled. If you look at the story of Joseph, it was Joseph's gift, his anointing, and his persistence that opened up the gate for him to sit at Pharaoh's feet. And not only sit at Pharaoh's feet, but now to sit at Pharaoh's right arm to be his man in charge. And what we see in those who read, and you read the rest of the story, you find out that Joseph's dream did come true. The symbolic of the sheep being raised was symbolic of his family members, and his sheep was raised because Joseph was raised up in the middle of a field. Oh, come on. Out of nowhere, it seemed like Joseph was raised up. Out of nowhere, Joseph came from prison to run Pharaoh's palace. He came from prison to run Egypt. I'm here to tell you all today that some of you feel like you're in obscurity. Some of you feel like nobody knows who you are, what you do, and how you can change things, and some of the solutions and things that you have. And it just seems like you keep getting overlooked, and your project keep getting put on the back burner, and your skill set keeps getting overlooked, and nobody knows about you. I'm here to tell you today that God knows, and he has a time and a place. And when your gifting and your anointing and your persistence is going to meet and it's going to collide with your dream, and you're going to go forward and things are going to happen so fast, you're going to wonder, Lord, how this. But I'm here to tell you, don't be scared. Don't run away from it, because it's part of that thing that's coming to you. That God said in the book, said it is that your latter shall be greater than your former. And if your latter is going to be greater than your former, then what I find is that things have to increase, that things have to speed up, that things have to go at light speed, that things have to come to place, and I have to trust him that he has my best interest at heart. I have to trust him that even if I found myself and I got off the track, I have to trust him to know that God is still God. And despite all things that's going on around me, I want to remind somebody today that God is still God. That despite all that's going on around you, despite where you find yourself may be, despite you seem like you're low, despite that you're in this certain situation, despite that you made some bad decisions, despite that you are in this thing, that God still has a plan. It may take you a little longer to get there because of some of the decisions that you made, but if you're this whole fast and if you keep making those turns and you keep listening to the Spirit and you keep going where he tells you to go, you keep doing what he's telling you to do, I'm here to tell you that your gifts and your anointing and the persistence is going to open up and your dreams are going to fill in the gap. Your dreams are are going to fill in the gap. So on this morning, brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you, and I ask that you remind yourself each and every day, when you run into that place that's hard, when you run into that place that you want to throw in the towel, when you say, I'm not sure this is for me, and when you get to that place, say, Lord, I don't have any more energy, Lord. I just, as my little boy said, I just can't. Daddy, I can't. When you get to that place, I just can't, you just do some more. And stand still and know that he has you. God got you. And through all of this, it's in our faith. It's our faith that makes us hope. And this is why our slogan here at the Safe House Church is that what? We walk by faith, not by sight. Didn't know we'd be sitting here doing this in a pandemic. Didn't know we'd be pastor of a church. Didn't know, but we're just walking by faith. Don't know where it's going in, but I know what God has shown me. And I have to what? Allow that dream to fill in my gaps, those holes in my life, those times where it seemed like, God, you're not speaking, those times where, Lord, it don't seem like you're not there. Notice I'm using the word seem because he's always there, but because we're in where we are, it didn't seem that he's there, but he's always there. He's not forgotten. He's not forgotten. He's not. Allow your dreams to fill in your gaps. God bless you all this morning. I don't have any more for you. I'm not going to belabor the point. But I just want to remind you, just let your dreams fill in your gaps. For God is.